His mother only, in her maiden bliss, worshipped the beloved with a kiss. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm so glad you're here. This Sunday has the dual distinction of being the last Sunday of Advent and Christmas Eve. This is a sort of a aligning of the planets that won't happen again for another 6 years, 2023. So many of you are getting a double dose of church today, coming back this evening for Christmas Eve candlelight, and maybe even a few tomorrow for Christmas Day services. You're welcome. I'm glad you're coming, and I'm glad you're here. Focus for a second on our first reading, the one where David wants to become a contractor. Must have killed him to hear the Lord say through Nathan the prophet, "Are you the one to build me a house?" You know, can't you hear the implied no? You know, like when you talk to your teenagers, "You're not going out dressed like that, are you?" "No, David," says the Lord, "you are not the one to build me a house. God, it seems, is not interested in a house made of cedar like the one David has." What a blow! It must have crushed David. It's like telling one of today's billionaires that he cannot have an aircraft carrier, even though he can afford it. Building temples was exclusively a royal prerogative. If David could put it off, it would put him and his tiny kingdom on the map. Kings who pursued lavish building projects were parading two things, the first of which was their deity. Lavish temples sent a message to would-be marauders and invaders, "My God is bigger than your God." The ancients believed that when nations went to war, it was actually their deities up in the heavenly realms who were fighting. And whichever side prevailed meant that that deity was the bigger and better God. That's why there's so much warrior language, right, in the Old Testament, smiting this group and killing that group. It makes us recoil now. But that was how the divine life was understood by the ancients, through the lens of power. The other thing on parade when monarchs pursued lavish building projects was their wealth, of course. Constructing magnificent temples, royal residences, and great public buildings was less a matter of public beneficence and more a vanity project. Ergo, it was no small thing for David to comply with God. It took tremendous selflessness and willingness to lay aside his own ego. He could very well have voiced the words his young relative would say some 900 or so years later, "Be it unto me according to your word." That young relative being, of course, Mary of Nazareth. It wasn't a prophet like Nathan who spoke to her, but the angel Gabriel, a little higher payroll order, beginning his discourse with, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Mary may have legally been by most tentative ties related to David, but at this moment, she is a nobody in a village of nobodies. I went to Israel a couple of years ago, and they don't even take you to Nazareth today. It's still on the map. They don't go there today. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Don't be afraid. Are you kidding? How could she not be afraid? Angels don't come to this neighborhood, and they certainly don't come to poor peasant girls like her. He must have been looking for another Mary. But he goes on. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son and name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Can you imagine a peasant girl hearing all of this? It must have sounded beyond ridiculous. No great ruler had ever come out of Nazareth. And yet there he is, the angel, speaking of ancestors, thrones, and kingdoms. Why choose a barely engaged teenager to carry God's son? But Mary says the words that have been the envy of everyone since her who longs to follow God in obedience and trust. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary's surprise is our surprise. News from God is often too good to be true. But God is in the business of surprising us over and over again. Scripture is filled with God showing up in the most unlikely ways and most unlikely places, like bushes that burn, donkeys that talk, raging whirlwinds, and under starry night skies. God has a way of amazing us on mountaintops, at wells in the noonday sun, and by strangers bearing gifts. No matter how often we look for God in the familiar places, God will somehow be revealed in the unexpected, the unlooked for, the unpredicted. The birth of Jesus to an unwed teenage mother in a backwater town a little south of nowhere was perhaps God's biggest surprise of all. No kings, no dignitaries to welcome the Holy One. Instead, the lowest in society, shepherds, attended the birth of God made flesh, as well as his temporarily homeless family, and a nice representation of creation in the form of barnyard animals. King David was not meant to build a house for God. His descendant Mary provided a dwelling for 9 months, her womb. In one sense, Christmas is about God being homeless until God finds a home in us. Mary is our teacher here. She shows us how to say yes to God, how to invite God into our lives and into our very bodies. The human frame becomes God's home as Jesus dwells with us and within us through the Holy Spirit. But only if we, like Mary, say yes.